Welcome to the Why Don't You Say Something podcast, where we're doing exactly that, saying something about the online coaching, online course world, and spiritual industry, because we're all wondering what the F is going on. I'm Eva, a former yoga teacher and online business strategist, who slowly started to question some of the things that I was learning and teaching myself. I've now come to see the light, and I'm sharing those learnings with you here. In this podcast, we're going to break down some of the red flags we see, hear people's stories and experiences, and offer resources on how you can do business in a bullshit-free way yourself if you are in business. Heads up, as you're listening, I swear a lot, so be careful of your kiddos' ears. Just a quick note to say, this podcast is a chat or an interview with someone today, and this is the spiel that I put on the beginning of every single interview I have. These are conversations with other people, and I am honored and excited and so freaking grateful that these people took the time to have a conversation with me, to share their perspective, to share their knowledge. Now, sometimes on the internet or on Instagram, we think that everyone needs to think like us. Everyone needs to do exactly what we think they should do. Hello, I am guilty of this. And as much as I would personally love that, it is not humanly possible, okay? And it doesn't create a place where we're learning more, where we're connecting with new people, where we're expanding our horizons or having our own beliefs challenged. So sometimes people will message me on Instagram and say, why did you share the story of this other person? Because they once posted this or they're running that. Y'all, I don't have the time. I truly have a full-time job and I'm not trying to investigate or vouch for every single person. So I invite us to drop any kind of judgments in that way or good or bad thinking. It really doesn't help anything. We could get into how that's part of white supremacy culture, positioning something as good or bad, or right or wrong, and that's that. This team or that team, this side or that side. We could also get into how when you learn about ethics, one of the things they invite you to do is drop that kind of yes or no thinking because it can oversimplify very complex things and not put us in a place of deeper understanding, being open to learning more. So we are having conversations on this podcast. I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much for listening. And feel free to share your thoughts and opinions over on Instagram posts, and we'll dive in. Hey there. Today's podcast episode is number 9, Spirituality and Mental Health with Dr. Thomas Oden. His Instagram handle is @dr.thomasoden. That's dr.thomasoden. You can also go to my Instagram account @whydon'tyousaysomething and look for the highlight associated with this podcast episode today. Number 9, Spirituality and Mental Illness with Dr. Thomas Oden. I just wanted to pop in and give you that info so you can follow along on Instagram a bit and check him out as you listen, and I will roll the interview. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Dr. Thomas Oden, and I'm so excited for what we're talking about today. It's a really big, fantastic topic. We're generally going to dive into mental health, spirituality, maybe mental health crises, and a lot of these things which I have been seeing that I wanted to talk to someone about. So I'm so grateful for you being on, Dr. Oden. I'm gonna read a little ditty about you a bit, and then we can actually hear more about you and we'll go from there. So we have Dr. Thomas Oden. He's an Atlanta-based, or maybe he's moved now, but he's a certified psychiatrist specializing in forensics, integrative health, and psychotherapy. And I also noticed on your site, it says that you really work with someone from more of a traditional place, like prescription medications can be used, and that integrative, holistic, alternative approach, which is amazing. And Dr. Thomas is also a Reiki healer and clinical professor at Morehouse School of Medicine, which is an HBCU.
So yes, I'm so glad that you're here. Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Odin.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. So you did mention a lot, but I was born and raised in New Orleans, grew up very much a musician, but also grew up very much loving science and really liking that methodology, this way of explaining things and having this history of other people that are gathered together to try to break things down that have been unexplained throughout history and building on top of that information. I also have a family background in which, you know, spirituality was kind of practiced within the kind of like realm of Catholicism, but still had a bit of a spin to it that reflected just the African background. And so there was just New Orleans itself is a place where it's rich in spiritual practices, mm-hmm. yet still able to kind of accept it within the culture, you know? And so to have a family in which people talk about dreams and visions, but it was not really part of a big ideology. It was just kind of like day to day. And that's what happens when you have a whole city that really embodies that and really accepts that. But I knew very early on that I wanted to go into psychiatry. I majored in psychology in undergrad at Morehouse College. I really enjoyed the art of trying to understand human behavior and emotions and really getting treatment. I think seeing things just growing up and seeing homelessness and seeing people going through different stages of psychosis was really something like, okay, everyone will be walking away here when this person clearly needs help, and just kind of wondering what happened here, you know? So that developmental psychosocial component was something that I think really like piqued my interest when I was very young. And so I was 19 knowing I wanted to go into psychiatry, but my first lecture, which is like, it's not that common, you know, but I think it was ultimately a calling, and I can tell just how my career has been so far that it was a calling. But my first presentation in Psychology 101 was on acupuncture, because the first time I had saw it, I thought it was very interesting. And the first time I read about, you know, just chi points and just kind of how that, like that system that's been thousands of years old really fascinated me. And so I think just, again, from an early age, I just saw that there things could kind of superimpose on each other and maybe tell a whole picture, but that wasn't really part of my path. You know, I eventually went to med school in Boston University, then did my residency training at Tulane University back at home in New Orleans, where I was able to really be home 5 years after the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina and getting a lot of good training in adult psychiatry, as well as therapy, as well as forensic psychiatry. And really my forensic psychiatry training, which is psychiatry and the law, a lot of expert witness testimony with legal cases, both criminal and civil, that's when I started to realize I had to work on my self-care more. You know, I was kind of working on very intense cases and not having the option, because when you're training, you can't pick what cases you want to do or not. And so I think I was starting to understand that, okay, you know, this concept of empath was just like at the time in 2015, it wasn't really a big thing as it is now, but you know, it was something that I can tell that I needed to really like accept within myself that there's sensitivity here that may be a bit more nuanced or a bit more intangible compared to just a standard transference, counter transference. And so I ended up after training going to California for short contract work, where I was talking to coworkers about just like intuition and things related to just like energy. Because I was just really getting very curious within that framework. Again, not to replace my science background, but only I was like, this could be more data. And I'm just learning more about it, reading a lot out there. I was introduced to a Reiki practitioner in Santa Rosa, California, who was a Black and Japanese woman by the name of Dale Little. And the first session I had with her, I really enjoyed the process. I felt very calm. I liked the dialogue. You know, again, I never thought I was going to replace what I was doing, but I was just really impressed by the practice of it. And I felt really calm from it. And I did, my mind from a scientist perspective, click like this might be missing data that could be pretty cool. Like, what if this modality and the information within this could be somewhat applied or like superimposed on what we already know that could lead to some very interesting things? And I just never really shook that thought about it. So eventually I got trained in it, eventually starting a private practice where I was doing Reiki as well as medication management, psychiatry.
That's so awesome.
And so, you know, that's probably in a nutshell what I do clinically. I do a lot of virtual care. I'm licensed in multiple states. partner with hospitals and clinics. And, you know, that really became more popular when the pandemic occurred, and really helping to enhance access to care for many people who may live further away from a hospital clinic, or may, you know, have more things in their schedule where they can't actually come in. But my private practice is definitely focused on an integrative health approach, and, you know, recommending different supplements and nutrients, as well as, you know, just being open to what someone may bring to the table as far as what their theories about what's going on with them. And that's been pretty fascinating, and I'm still learning. I'm also training in hypnosis right now, and getting my credit hours for that currently. And so I'm constantly like learning things, trying to just have the toolkit, you know, really diverse, because humanity is diverse. We have different interests and perspectives, and the more you can bring to the table while also having the background of understanding with something severe and serious and life-threatening, you know, which is what I take a lot of pride in being a physician. But I'm able to handle very tough cases to cases that just need a little bit more guidance and support.
Wow. Dang. Okay. I'm like, wow, all of the experiences that you've had and the training you've done, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, good for you. And I'm so glad you're doing this work. And I said, dang, before, cause I'm like, yeah, that's quite a toolbox that you have. I'm like, I love it. And for me, it's so rare. I don't know how this has been my experience, but it's rare to talk to someone in the field of psychiatry who also has any mention of spirituality or other holistic practices. I think that's just because I've only spoken to people like in session, and that's with a psychiatrist, like, and that's just what they were about. And it's so cool that you knew you wanted to get into psychiatry when you were 19. Like, that's, yeah, sounds like a calling. That's very cool. So I had reached out to you being like, hey, do you want to chat about this topic, because of what I was seeing. And I want to also preface really quick that, you know, and I had said this to you, Dr. Odin, that sometimes I'm hesitant to talk about mental health or have any kind of critique on mental health crisis, because I don't want people to think that I am bashing it or making fun of any of that in any way, shape, or form. Sometimes if I bring up maybe behavior that I kind of think is not okay, especially when people are charging a ton of money, people are kind of like, well, don't associate that with mental health, or don't correlate those two in that way. Do you know what I'm saying? So right. I want to say, like, I have so much love and respect for, you know, mental health professionals, okay, therapy, psychiatry. I'm so grateful for psychiatry, and I've gone through my own mental health crises. Is it crises? Those?
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All of them. And my family has as well. Growing up, my dad was, you know, majorly bipolar, OCD. He was homeless. He was on the streets. And he had so much spiritual work that has helped him to heal. And also medication, oh my gosh, was life-changing for him. So I just want to preface that as we're driving into this, that where I'm coming from is not any kind of like ha-ha about mental health, but that I think it's valid and needed. And I have a big respect for it. That's what I'm saying. And what I was seeing online that I mentioned to you is, you know, for me, I've been in the spiritual world like 20 years, you know, lots of yoga trainings, I'm Reiki certified, stuff like that. I was certified in mediumship and all kinds of intuitive work. I don't do it now, but I started to see, especially through the pandemic, where I was like, this does not seem like a spiritual enlightenment to me. This is starting to really look like someone who's in crisis and someone who is not well mentally. And this is starting to slip towards that side in a huge way. And I've also heard these stories too. So I'm curious on this topic, like, what made you be like, oh, heck yeah, I want to talk about that. Like, what have you been seeing from your side?
Right. I mean, I feel like the pandemic definitely caused a huge mental health crisis. It was already happening prior to that occurring, but just the isolation people were having and not really being able to access community the same way, you saw people being more vulnerable to having their stress take a bigger toll on them, while on top of like being afraid of this really life-threatening virus, which it was. And then I started to see, you know, just how people were trying to explain what was taking place. And that's when, you know, that really affected me, because you have people in science that science is an ever-evolving process, right? But you still have people who have dedicated their lives to understand something, to warn the public, to educate the public. And then seeing people deciding to turn the pandemic into this ascension shift really upset me, because to me, that was, and then on top of what they were trying to say it was, they were also really knocking science and saying spreading fear about the vaccine while also saying, well, don't live in fear, you'll be fine. So I'm like, well, you're spreading fear, yet saying that this is about fear.
Yes.
So that didn't really add up. And these are people that had the privilege to work from home, you know, so they weren't all of them vulnerable, like someone working in public transportation or someone working in the service industry the same way. And, you know, so kind of seeing, I don't have to learn science, I don't have to learn public health, I'm just going to call it something else. You know, that level of bypassing was very disturbing, but it was also very popular online because, you know, at this point, there's a lot of politicization of what's taking place, and a lot of people are losing wages as a result of what's taking place. And so whenever you have the public and that amount of stress, they're just vulnerable to misinformation, disinformation. A lot of people died as a result of it. We know that once the vaccines became available, particularly with the Delta variant, there were over 200,000 people who were eligible for the vaccine in the United States who didn't get it, who died likely as a result of not being vaccinated. And you had people shifting what they were calling this. And, you know, I still can't get over that. Like, it really changed how I really saw, you know, many people that subscribe to New Age spiritual, you know, stuff. And I saw a little hints of it here and there, because, you know, they're meeting me as a psychiatrist and they're saying things like, oh, so, you know, they're thinking I'm just like, oh, I don't believe in psychiatry anymore just because I'm trained in Reiki or whatnot. Like, no, there's a, you know, this is a science that's really reliable, that is proven to be useful. I'm just opening up my toolkit. That's it. But, you know, I think that it's understandable that people will gravitate to what they do know and not what they don't know. But at the same time, you know, this was a very like worldwide event, very dangerous event. And I really was hoping that community was going to get built and that people who practice holistic, you know, practices were going to really team up with medical doctors. Like, hey, let's get together and really figure out how to enhance the health and well-being of the public. And they just went off the deep end. You know, they went deep in, really, not all of them, but a good chunk of them. And it was actually like profitable to do that as well. There's more clicks from that, more likes online. The algorithms were really shifting to giving those individuals more attention. And a lot of people made a lot of money from really spreading information that got a lot of people hurt, you know, and they're calling themselves healers. So I got to, you know, I'm pretty upset about it still. Which is why I agreed to get on this conversation with you, because you hurt people. And that's, you know, that's a big deal.
Yes. Dang, you know, I've actually never thought of how they made money by profited by spreading misinformation. I actually never really thought of that. And that's makes it even more painful. You know, when the coronavirus, COVID-19 official real thing, was a huge thing for everyone in spirituality. And I think it was a huge kind of like, are people going this way or that way in the spiritual world, like that I saw happen. And in the beginning of the pandemic, I was definitely vaccine hesitant from whatever, how I was raised growing up and then things in the spiritual world. And so I had to move through that and went and got vaccinated. And now I'm proud to say that at the community care clinic that I work at, I'm running the next vaccine clinic and like so proud of myself that I've moved through and thankful that I went to this side of things, you know? So I do understand like the fear that goes on for people. And I'll tell you, I was in a huge business mastermind with a kind of spiritual teacher. And I thought this was a spiritual person that I was learning from. And next thing you know, they start saying that, you know, they are going to release the next strain of the COVID, that it's an orchestrated event, like
pandemic.
Whoa, boom. And there we are. And I tell you, it woke me up so much to be like someone who I thought was spiritual, I actually think is, and for other reasons, is having a mental health crisis is not okay for a lot of other reasons around that. So it's definitely something that we see, and it really makes sense with what you're saying. Like everyone was already vulnerable. You try and make sense of these things. You have people going that way. It's very interesting. But what else have you kind of like seen? Maybe what are kind of like the red flags or the go-to things that come to mind for you of maybe people who are positioned as coming across thinking they're spiritual and you're like, this could actually be cause for needing some support with your mental health?
Oh yeah, I see it all the time. I mean, I work in inpatient psychiatric units and, you know, you have individuals who are going through very intense emotions in a psychotic episode. Sometimes it's drug-induced, sometimes it's organic in nature. And, you know, they'll say things and me being someone who will listen, they're like, oh, I'm a this and I'm that. And I was, you know, from ancient Egypt. And I'm like, tell me more, because my Reiki teacher is an Isis priestess, you know? So like, I'm like, hey, tell me more about that. And I'm trying to get, you know, but I leave room to listen to what they're saying. But typically it just drips off and like they're under a lot of stress. So, you know, they're under a lot of stress. There's a lot of anxiety, maybe depression, fear, intense emotions. And you don't just land in the hospitals like just randomly just because you're a spiritual person. Like something's going on that's causing both social and occupational dysfunction where you're not able to work, you're not sleeping, you're not eating, you know, you're having focus concentration issues, you're maybe aggressive towards someone, or you're just in like this very extreme state of psychiatry, of anxiety, where you're just not really doing well, very disorganized. And so it's this person is showcasing that they're dangerous to themselves, others are gravely disabled, and that's the criteria. And so, you know, I always want to hear if there's something else going on. I've rarely seen it, you know, I think in my entire career so far, while also being open to understanding that, you know, there are some people who are mediums and may get messages. And I, you know, there's a lot of thing about reality that is not well explained. I'm not someone that is going to define my reality based strictly on science, because 100, 200 years ago, scientists were saying I wasn't even human. So I can't put my trust and faith fully into everything being explained from a scientific perspective. There's still more to grow. And I like psychiatry because I know that 30 years from now, we'll look back at what we're doing now and say, oh, you know, they could have lowered the dose of that, you know, like they could have refined the medication a bit more, you know. So I know that I'm in a field that's constantly evolving, which is what I like about it. But overall, you know, a psychiatric like crisis is something that is really disrupting every facet of your life. You're not functioning well, you're not feeling good, you know. There's people concerned. Some people don't have the social support, but like, you know, there's a whole thread of things going on in this person's life that is showcasing that they're not okay. And that really helps to really distinguish between, okay, this person may have beliefs based on their cultural background and they're navigating life perfectly fine. They may only fit in certain circles socially because of what they believe in culturally, but it's different from somebody else who's like, okay, I didn't sleep for days. I'm having panic attacks. Am I eating? I'm not sleeping. You know, I'm upset. Like I'm fearing for my life, you know. And so it's a level of the acuity and emergency of how distressed they are that ultimately can help determine that.
Yes. So some of the things I heard you mention was like, you know, they're not sleeping, they're not eating, they're having kind of a extreme anxiety, I think you mentioned, very disorganized, which we should maybe say what disorganized means from a psychiatry standpoint, because someone who's me or ADHD, like, what does disorganized mean in that way for you?
Yeah, some people, like, they're not showering for days. You know, they're just really they're not well kept. So just, you know, clothes may be torn up but like, of course, you know, you have to be helpful in kind of making sure, but we leave room for that. Like, I think people don't understand my field well, where I can go from talking to someone who's doing well, they're an attorney and they have a good practice, but they have anxiety problems. And 30 minutes later, I'm talking to someone who's like inching towards homelessness, you know, and that happens within an hour. So I see people in many different backgrounds. So we're not necessarily like just blinded to these socioeconomic barriers. I mean, there's still like in the field of medicine, you know, structural racism and things that need to take place and cultural incompetency that takes place. But in the field of psychiatry, you know, we see people from different backgrounds and different economic standpoints. But as far as it's organized, you know, it's some people, they're going from one thought to another thought, so you can't keep track of what they're saying. Their speech may be very rapid and like pressured. they're just not able to actually have a conversation with you. Like, mm-hmm. how are you doing today? And then they just go all around the topic and say this and say that. They may not actually answer how they're doing. And it's not the standard, oh, like, I'm really stressed out. This is how my day was. It's more so, I just jumped for this, jumped for that. You can't even really, it's not a linear statement or linear like conversation. You can't keep like really on top of it. A lot more mm-hmm. severe than ADHD or ADD. You know, it's something that's very pronounced where like anybody would talk to someone and say, huh, what are you talking about? I don't understand. You're saying someone's across the street trying to get to you. There's no one there, you know? And so things of that nature.
Yeah. Wow. It's so interesting too. Cause as I hear some of these things, I kind of go with what I've recently is maybe spiritual teachers who are kind of in an extreme state of anxiety. And it's like they have a message they need to tell everyone. And then sometimes it can also be a message of fear. You know, I've just got this download, or we've talked to the aliens, you know. And it's so interesting for me. I'm like, I truly don't know if this is right for you and if this is sound and good. Or if it's not, all I know is that for me, it's not a match for where I'm at, for my values, what I would like to learn. You know? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I guess, is that something like you see too, is kind of maybe people online where you're like, oh, interesting. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a big fan of your Instagram page, and you'll post about a lot of that word salad, you know, spiritual teacher that's like, saying all this stuff and not saying anything at all. And you know, and I'll watch them sometimes and really try to unpack what they're saying and get fairly confused about it. And I've heard a lot of different people talking over the years. And so, you know, it's they're clearly people who have maybe a bipolar two, and that's the distinction between bipolar two and bipolar one. Is bipolar one is like hypermanic, like it's a very strong and very observable thing, where you have some other people where every few days, well, it might be like every few months, they have like a few days, 3-4 days where they're not sleeping well. They may be very elevated, but they may be able to really mask it and not bring a lot of attention to it. And I still kind of don't always, I can't tell just from like watching someone's video mm-hmm. that like what's going on with them. But it seems to be very trendy to like say a lot of things without saying anything at all. And, you know, particularly when it comes to consciousness and awareness and the collective and ascension and downloads and codes and, you know, while ignoring a lot of socioeconomic, you know, disparities taking place in the world. And a prime example, because someone shared with me someone's profile on Instagram, and they were describing the death of Queen Elizabeth and kind of calling her a reptilian. And I was like, you know, you can't see the impact of white supremacy so much because that person looked like you, that they have to be an alien. You know, like that's like, you can't even touch the topic of white supremacy or genocide and these things that hurt, you know, that you can't even go there, because that doesn't fit your brand, or I don't know if it's your brand or it just doesn't fit your cultural beliefs or doesn't fit like, you know, what you're aiming to do. So she has to be an alien. And that was when I was like, kind of accidentally snapped on the person who were like, send it to me like, yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, like, can't even talk about white supremacy. This person has to be like, they have to bypass the whole cultural systemic issues that are still in all our lives. And because I mean, we all have to work on something. I don't think it's like, you know, like, I don't think most Black people want every white person to cry and on, you know, on their knees, like, forgive me. Like, no, just do the work. I've had to do the work my whole life of fitting into spaces where people didn't look like me and having to learn from different cultures. Like, I'm training Reiki. I don't want to pass down the information until I go to Japan myself and actually talk to someone from a lineage and like make sure I'm pronouncing the actual words right, you know, like getting permission, because I feel like that's important. Where I see so many people, they're not even thinking. I know that I have the privilege of income to go to Japan and be real about that, but like, there's people who have the means to do that and they're just like, no, I'm above that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I know that was a bit long-winded, but I mean, it just speaks to all the different angles that people will take. But the word salad, social media, spiritual guru thing is definitely seems to be getting more popular. And And I oftentimes just like, I just fear people getting hurt, that they're they're funneling their resources and their energy into this. And it helps, and you know, you can feel good when someone's saying things about, oh, it's not about this, it's not about that, it's just all about you and the ego and all these, you know, just, it's like just bypassing, really understanding there's a lot happening in the world. And maybe I'm kind of sad because there's a lot happening in the world, there's people suffering, how can I get back, you know? And it's just people who want to not really go that on that level of what was taking place, or see how can I as an individual be of service to community, you know, instead it's like, oh, it's just ego and just clear with some sage. And I'm like, I like sage, man, but you're kind of ruining the whole situation, you know? So it's layered, of course, you know, there's a lot of factors in it, but it seems to be very popular right now where you can say a lot without saying like anything at all, you know? And I just think it's kind of dangerous. And I think it's people will be better off really, you know, going through, like, I know there's health disparities in the United States, so not everybody has access to healthcare professionals, you know, but there are walk-in clinics a lot more than people think.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to just make sure you cross all, cover all your boxes, you know, like that's important. Don't go for the quick Instagram fix that felt good. It makes, you know, but it didn't really actually help you feel better and kind of change what's taking place, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned so many good things, and so why am I here chatting about this? Why am I being like, well, look at that teacher. Are they word salading? Because I am bombarded with messages of people saying they have been hurt, fucked up, I mean, mentally, financially, from a lot of these teachers. Like, I was just overwhelmed with it. And I think maybe they're teaching things that aren't so sound. B, it can maybe attract people who are poor mental health. Like, I don't know. That's just a guess of mine. Like, and sometimes I'll hear stories of people being, you know, I was going through a real crisis. I was looking for an answer. And then they kind of went into this because the marketing is so fantastic on it. And they're telling you they're going to solve your dreams and you're going to ascend. So that's why I'm talking about it. And they do profit off of it. Like, it's if someone was just word salading and not charging 11 and 11 an hour with no training, I wouldn't care. Have fun. But it's that messing people up possibly and profiting off of it that is just beyond me. And to what you said, I've lately been looking at like some coaches' posts. Let's say, you know, work with me for 3 months and it's $10,000. I will break down what you could pay in therapy or psychiatry for that same amount. And I truly don't understand, you know, why you would go to that coach versus going to a mental health professional. And that's kind of another big conversation, but that's a huge point. Right. Like, why aren't they going that way?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think that I think the field of medicine has like deserved the reputation that it has. Some of it's actually due to insurance companies really driving what we can do, what patients have access to, and they're so unregulated, and that's really shifted. Many physicians are actually unhappy with healthcare because of insurance companies. Some of us can try to go around it by charging out of pocket, which you know is going to really decrease the amount of people that you may be able to serve. But you know, there's a general like just dissatisfaction with healthcare because it's not, we have to pay for very basic things that people in other countries don't have to, which can really pay, you know, take a toll on us. And so I think that, you know, when you look at like things of that nature, on top of the fact that I think like the sell of the spiritual guru is strong. I mean, it's been going on for hundreds of years for a reason. You know, these people are charismatic and they're offering, you know, they have this presence about themselves and they seem to, you know, like, and that's the same thing we get drawn to in politicians, right? Like they're very much like charismatic people and, you know, very communicative and things of that nature. And so I think it's the draw of like, I can change my life. I mean, who doesn't want to have like their life be better than what it is in some capacity? You know, like most of us want to strive towards things. Someone saying they have a pathway and you're getting there, and they're explaining things that, you know, maybe you've had thoughts about or feelings about, and maybe they're seeming like they have the answers that you've been seeking. And many, you know, seekers. And I consider myself a seeker of knowledge and different types of knowledge. And so I actually went to Bali after living in Australia briefly. And my first time realizing, okay, this is a mixed bag of tricks here, was I was at this pretty well-known, like kind of like holistic studio in Ubud, Bali. And I was like talking to a few people and a couple of teachers, and it just didn't really add up what the way they were carrying themselves with what you actually were getting out of it, you know? And I was like, if you're so great, if you're so embodied by this spiritual goddesshood, like, why are you out here? Why are you not, you know, in the United States helping people who are underserved? You know, why are you like, it's not adding up with me, you know, because it seems like to me, you're just kind of, it feels good being out here. It's cheap. It's cool. I mean, I'm not knocking the place. I love Bali, but like, I don't think the bravado that you're carrying with yourself is really matching what you're actually really doing. Cause you're really working with a small amount of population of people who can afford to even get out here, you know, and you can do good work with people who are in different walks of life. You know, there's people who have executive jobs that definitely need to, they can impact a lot of people, you know, and so like working with them can help other people. So I'm not knocking that whole practice, but it just didn't match the ego that I was seeing, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I think you just, but the online guru, you know, there's a lot of vulnerability taking place. A lot of people are struggling financially in the United States and around the world. You know, a lot of people don't come from money, don't have generational wealth. And so anyone that's trying to offer a different way of looking at something to be successful, it's easy to kind of go in that direction. I mean, that's how cryptocurrency really rose and crashed, you know, like it's just, there's so many different layers of how that story takes place. And it's just people who get drawn to be these spiritual leaders because they see the power, they see the influence, they see the impunity that they can have once they build a follower, which is why we always see these cult leaders eventually pop up, because they see, you know, that it's doable. But they would have been doing something. If it wasn't that, it would have been something else, you know? So I think it's just the vulnerability of like seeking information. And I think a lot of people go into it with very good intentions, wanting to learn things and find community. But, you know, there's just a lot of discernment that you don't always realize until it's too late.
You mentioned like how, hey, yeah, there is critiques and issues for health. I mean, in the healthcare world, oh my God. And I'm working in healthcare for the first time. And I'm like, holy moly, like this mixture of, I feel like I'm doing like the best work for the community I've ever done. And also so angry at the healthcare system. And then there's also friends that I've known, or even myself personally, you try and get with a therapist, you try and get mental health support, and it's not available, or you're waitlisted a million times. Like, it's pretty wild how we absolutely need more. We need, you know, I don't have to tell you, we need to overhaul our healthcare system, and especially around mental health. In California, where I am, the mental health clinicians are on strike at Kaiser, demanding, you know, better quality. So when I, we're just going on a story time of myself for the audience and you guys really quick. When I was going through a mental health crisis, I called Kaiser and they told me, which I'm pretty sure is illegal, I wasn't like a direct threat to myself and I wasn't in the in an incarceration system. So they denied me access to any further mental health support. So I really understand the frustration, or I totally see how people could just be like, well, this coach, you know, I can just talk to her right now. And she says she has all these answers and I'm a spiritual person. And you just like, boom, there you go. I really see how that can go down.
Right. Cause I mean, what I see that they do very well besides marketing is that they are saying that they can do all these different things for people. I can be a therapist. I can be your nutritionist. I can be your business coach. I can be your, you know, yoga instructor. And I can be, you know, like all these roles when like ultimately, you know, it's hard to really embody multiple different roles, but it sounds appealing. You know, you're seeing the images that they're portraying of themselves and where they're at and where they're living, even though they're charging a lot of money so they can keep that lifestyle going. And so, you know, I see people like really post these like anti-medicine or anti-doctor things like, oh, well, you know, the doctor just, for one, like the doctor just wants you to be sick and they you know, they give you medications and it's poison. Like, for one, like, we learn pathology. So when you know, we treat pathology. We do treat you once you have things that are sick and you come in, you know, we will tell you the things that, like, okay, this is how we treat this. And if you don't get it treated, this is how it's going to progress and potentially kill you. But we never said we're going to be your dietitian. We never said we were your fitness instructor. Like, that was never the case, you know? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I do believe that, like, yeah, we need to have more nutrition training and be able to efficiently disseminate information to people. But we have nutritionists at the hospital as well, or at clinics. It's just disjointed, you know? And yeah, that part can really be tough. You know, you may not really know all that's out there. And so, you know, there's constant room for revisions when it comes to what we can do to really enhance access to care, develop treatment plans that really meet people where they're at and help educate them on how to better take care of themselves other than diagnosing and treating. At the same time, there's a lot to diagnose. There's a lot that goes into our knowledge base where sometimes you don't have a lot of time to go into your diet plan. Like, it may be very big picture, like, hey, you need to avoid salty foods and, you know, high cholesterol foods, right? And yeah, talking to someone else could give you a lot more detail there. But I'm also thinking about, like, how this could really kill you and other symptoms that you're having and what medications you're taking, how that may, like, be in conflict with what I want to prescribe. You know, I'm thinking about a lot of stuff that people don't really realize, but they don't realize because we have short visit times. We have short visit times because of how insurance has essentially forces us to, like, oh, we're only reimbursing you for 15 minutes. I need 30 minutes with this person. You're really only reimbursed for 15 minutes, which means if I go over that, I'm not really getting paid, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, it just gets, it's, you know, there's a lot of problems there. And no one really wants to hear the worries me doctor part, but a lot of us aren't actually satisfied with how healthcare is because we actually came into this wanting to help people and wanting to have spend a lot of time. But we realized that in a lot of, like, older doctors, like, yeah, that's not how it used to be in the 70s and early 80s. You can just, you know, you didn't have the pressure on insurance companies that you have now. And so, but I think the life coach kind of lane benefits from overselling their skill sets while also having no legal ramifications if things go sideways, you know, and they really benefit from that. Because we have a lot of, like, malpractice related things. There's a lot of legal repercussions. If I, you know, say, oh, we can treat your anxiety with bananas, like, I can get sued, lose my license, career for that. A coach can say that, and it's like, oh, you didn't eat enough bananas, you know, next person.
And the coach can say whatever. Maybe people will come out to critique them. Maybe their accounts will get taken down and they just pop up a different one. I mean, there's no stopping it. It's wild. So unfortunately, and that's a huge conversation, is like the issues with access to healthcare, the issues within healthcare. Another topic is how it can be disjointed. Like, I went to school for holistic health, just as a little holistic health coach. And I was like, wow. I mean, you know, you might talk to someone who really wants to work on their food or eating, and then it comes out that they're in a really abusive relationship, and you're like, you know, that's maybe not something you'd mention to your nutritionist. Or, you know, how the whole person is another big conversation, and it's something so important. And so also when these health coaches or life coaches are like, I look at all of you, well, we're like, yeah, that's needed, but not by you who hasn't been trained and is saying whatever the heck you want.
Right.
So many good conversations in there. For now, I'd love to ask, like, have you seen or experienced, or in your, with what you know, has, like, manifestation or law of attraction kind of practices been harmful for people? Like, I think it was harmful for me, besides the fact that it's just ridiculous, like bootstrap therapy and ableist in a lot of ways. So we're saying, you know, just attract everything you want. Your thoughts attract things. There's a lot to it. But when you're talking about your thoughts attract things, many people will message me that they really became so paranoid. They became, you know, just really fearful of the world and what they were bringing in. Like, do you have kind of thoughts from a mental health perspective on that?
So first, I want to disclose that, like, this to go step back from what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. I've worked with coaches before, not necessarily spiritual coaches, it was business coaching. And I worked with three people one person oversold their skill set to a great degree. And so it can happen to anybody overall. And when I look back at what I would have done differently, like I could have just found a psychiatrist that was successful. Hey man, I'll pay you your hourly rate.
Yeah.
You know, and literally just like learn the ropes there. And I still would have saved more money than what the person I worked with. I would have saved like hundreds of dollars, actually, maybe like more than $100. You know what I mean? Compared to just like, I guess would have actually paid someone who actually is doing the things I want to do. I had a little bit of a difference from adding psychiatry and Reiki. So I did need to meet with someone who was Reiki trained, who did coaching to help me get those like holistic pieces together. You know what I mean? But there was a point where I had to like, okay, you're trying to add more, like another cycle, and like there's no reason for that, you know what I mean? But I had enough knowledge about that, like, yeah, that's, I think we've covered a lot and it was actually pretty awesome, but like you're trying to make a payroll. I get the hustle, but like I'm not here for it. But you know, as far as the manifestation, law of attraction stuff, I mean, I can just speak from my personal experiences where I came at it from a different background. Like I had like, I not only like the training, but I was also like, you know, I had therapy. I did 2 years of like weekly psychoanalysis. So by the time I went into, you know, those concepts, I already had a foundation, not only education, but also as a client of just a process of like coping mechanisms and understanding, you know, the things I needed to work on. And so what I see dangerous is people who haven't had the opportunity for one reason or another to work with a therapist or counselor, and they're trying to funnel what's going on in these spiritual terms. And they're usually, it ends up kind of causing a bigger crash and bigger crisis because, you know, it's not, the tools aren't really there. The methodology isn't really there. I mean, you know, New Age spiritual stuff is a combination of so many different practices that it doesn't really stand on its own as a great foundation. It's cool if you got other stuff and you want to, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's a cool way of seeing these threads of commonality. But like standing on it by itself, you know, it's going to leave you really empty-handed. And that's just my personal opinion of it, because there's not a lot of foundation to it. I started learning it myself and I found a lot of cool like parts of it. But then I really found my foundation when it came to spirituality from like West African spiritual systems that just had, you know, like I just found that to be something that I could really just trace a bit better and connect the ancestry a bit better. But New Age is okay. I just think that it's missing a lot. So, but I think if you go, if you have stuff going on and then you're going into spiritual practices, which really and truly, like most of them should have a psychological component of it. The separation is something that seems to have happened maybe the past like 300 years, but you know, I think it just leaves people more vulnerable because now you're trying to explain all these things into this lane. And I see people all the time who, you know, they don't want to work with someone in mental health because they don't want the label of a diagnosis. And there's obviously a lot of gurus that benefit from people not wanting a label. And I tell people all the time, like, look, you know, I don't really care if you take medication or not. It's like your body is your choice. I'm just saying that once you have a diagnosis, now you can look up and see what all the holistic practices that exist to treat that diagnosis. Now you have direction, you know, instead of like you just reading stuff and you're trying St. John's wort, but you have anxiety and depression, that gives you more anxiety if you have an anxiety disorder, you know? And so now you're even worse off, but you thought like, oh, it's natural, but it actually gave you a panic attack, you know, because you just thinking it was just gonna treat depression, you're not realizing you have an anxiety on top of it. So it's like stuff like that where people slip on a banana peel. So I think that like manifestation, law of attraction, you know, like I like them, but I also feel very fortunate that I have this background to approach those things and see it as a data set that I can pull from, but I don't use it to explain my whole existence because it's going to leave a lot of gaps, and that's not the world we live in. And the life is very complex and there's so many factors that come into, oh, did you manifest this or did your dad pay for it? I know a lot of people online, like I'm about to buy my first house. I manifested it. And I'm like, I know your background. I know you come from money, you know what I'm saying? Your parents got the down payment waiting for you, which is awesome. That's awesome for that to happen. But did you really manifest this? but you're selling that. So now someone didn't manifest their house. They're feeling bad about themselves. And now you're telling them to manifest better. You know, they got to shed something and cut some cords. I'm like, pisses me off. I'm like, you're hurting people. I mean, that's just the bottom line, you know, and you're not telling the whole story. You're hurting people. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not describing your privilege, you know? And so I think it's dangerous. I think it's a tool that could be useful, but I just feel like there's not enough people giving the disclaimers about it. Like, hey, this doesn't replace working with a mental health professional. This doesn't replace really understanding emotional regulation, understanding, you know, who you are and the things that led to that and the ways you cope with things and things in your control and outside of your control. You know, those are missing because those aren't attractive conversations, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I just think there's a lot missing from the dialogue and a lot of people get led astray.
Yeah. When you talk about kind of like that, what's missing, and we were also mentioning that lots of times in this conversation of bypassing, it reminds me of like in the chakras, how people are just all up here in another land and they're not interested maybe in the like grounding. Mm-hmm. You are here in this world right now. What information do we know here today be in your body? Like it's such a, in their spiritual minds, like out there, it's kind of like an ungroundedness and it's interesting, but that word like bypassing is just ding, 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 ding. Like, yeah. and when you had mentioned before about how people don't want to look at who all there is to look at around Queen Elizabeth and what she was a part of, and they are going to say she's an alien, the bypassing of just, nope, bing, 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 we'll just fly. I'm making like flying gestures, you know, we're just going to wee over to something spiritual or a way to make sense of it. So there's a lot of people who use that spirituality as a way to not look at things, escape things. Yeah, I mean, that's just where my mind goes. It doesn't mean that any of like spirituality or I don't even know aliens necessarily are bad. It's just sometimes people, right, are just dismissing everything else and bypassing. I don't know if that made any sense.
But for sure, yeah. I was, you know, a big fan of watching Ancient Aliens growing up. I had the DVDs and everything. But I guess my takeaway was just different. Like I saw it as like, oh, well, you know, there's all these mysteries in the world and happening in different parts of the world. Maybe the point is for us to just get along so we can understand maybe there's some deeper things taking place. Not like, oh, I'm this race and, you know, and you're ignoring like all the inequities of the world. Or something.
Yeah.
I just missed that part of it.
Well, and it's like, why are you worried about what starseed planet you're from when shouldn't you be worried about like, open your door, look outside at how is everyone else doing? Like, I just don't understand how it's like, why are you worried about what's happening on another planet in the past or the future or something when like here, there's just so many people that need help or other things to look at. Like, it's truly, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the word healer means a lot to me. You know, it's something I see as very important. I think there's different types of healers, you know, like you don't have to have a doctor in front of your name to be a healer. I feel very strongly about that. But I also feel like, you know, it's just become it's a lot of people who are calling themselves healers that aren't really, they're hurting more people than they're helping. I mean, and they're doing it for themselves and, you know, they're missing ethics. They're missing that real like empathy about like what they're saying and how it can cause harm. And I mean, first do no harm is a big tenet of medical work. And I see a lot of people they're just, you know, that's not it, you know, like, oh, don't get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Oh, you died. Oh, you're fat. You know, like what the hell? Like, that's not like, how did that work out? You know, like, that's not cool.
It's bad that I'm laughing at that. It's just, I have to laugh at like, what's happening in the world? Yes. Okay. I want to be respectful of your time. I guess I would ask like to you, if I see a lot, sometimes spiritual friends or people who might message me who felt like diving into so much spirituality or some of these practices has really wrecked them mentally, or they feel not okay. I guess, like, what would be your advice to someone like that? Or when should someone see a mental health professional or a psychiatrist?
Right. So again, very loaded, but I think it just comes down to, you know, it like spiritual practices, they're not going to always feel good. You know, they're going to be ups and downs. That's just life in general. I think that, you know, I personally have tried my best to just try to combine things as much as I can, while also understanding like my lack of knowledge in certain things as well. And just, you know, I've allowed spirituality to have like a tide, an ebb and flow for me, where sometimes I'll read a lot of stuff and sometimes like time to apply it, you know? But I think that it's important to understand that if you're having more bad days than good days, like that's a problem. If you're not sleeping and it's a regular thing, it's a problem. It's going to cause you problems. You're not going to be sharp. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to forget stuff. You're going to miss deadlines. You're going to show up late to work. You know, it's going to start to really snowball in other ways. And so if you're just noticing that there's a significant stress in a way that's just keeping you from really feeling good, even if you have spiritual belief systems that may not be something that everyone, you know, sees the same way. Because I've seen people before where I was like, you may be having a spiritual awakening, but you're also having a psychotic break. At the, you know, it both can exist at the same time. And you probably, as much as you're talking to this guru, you're trying to microdose, that's not a great idea. You know, why don't you just actually talk to a psychiatrist, get this under control, and then maybe you can approach these things and have better clarity. You know, like doing this one thing doesn't take away from this experience, you know, because I mean, if I was born in another part of the world, I might be perceiving, we do know that in psychiatry, culturally, that certain cultures, they will call something, we call this something else there, you know, and they may have different levels of treatment that's different, but at the same time, they a lot of like older cultures still acknowledge like the point of seeing someone with medical knowledge, you know what I mean? So I think that it's important to just understand when you're not doing well, that there are options. And if you tried something that wasn't useful, there's nothing wrong with going the straight, narrow path of talking to a medical professional, because you understand that we're trained to look out for the fact that like what can really hurt you and cause you problems. And we have people working 24/7 to catch those things and offer treatment for those things. We're working with someone else in Costa Rica doing ayahuasca. Like I've seen people actually have like cool, like good responses to that, you know, but I've also seen some people not have good responses to it. And they're still missing the foundation of understanding mental health and understanding coping strategies and understanding when they're like their diagnosis, which really having a proper diagnosis opens up the lane of different treatment options. Mm-hmm. But you're looking at those treatment options from a lane of understanding your diagnosis. And that's like very powerful to know what you have. I know there's a stigma, there's labels, no one likes being labeled with anything. But there's a lot of power in that, because you can really empower yourself and move forward in the way with like more, like just more knowledge to catch that, you know? So I think that just really being understanding that the medical field is there to handle severe cases, to understand that depression, anxiety, panic attacks, PTSD can happen to anyone, you know, less of a person with those diagnoses. And just know that the person who's a spiritual guru, you know, they're not really liable if something happens to you. And so you got to understand that there's just less on the line for them if you get hurt. So you may as well talk to the people who are, they mess up, you know, you might be different compensation. Like, you know, like at least you know that like I could lose everything if like this goes wrong. That person, they just might go to another city and just start a new Instagram account and call it a day. Mm-hmm. We're not the same. We got way different things on the line. Our training's different. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with going the standard route. And then once you have that understood, then you can just see what else is out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what like you're saying in such a lovely way, and then the work that you do, how you have this blend of your medical psychiatry and your maybe spiritual beliefs or Reiki and stuff, is that it can be both. And it's not just like, you know, one or the other. And I think there's the conversation of like letting go of any kind of like shame around it, shame around having any kind of mental health concerns or around anxiety or whatever it might be, because I do think that the spiritual world can kind of in my experience kind of push that of you just, you know, when I had mental health, not when I did, you know, always, but when I was trying to navigate my mental health specifically, I had so many yoga teachers just say, you need to do more yoga. You just need to meditate. Well, you know, okay, no, that wasn't the case. So long story short, I think what I'm hearing from you that is inspiring and I think is a good takeaway from what you just said is like, yeah, it can be both. And it's not like you need to drop one or the other. And there's no shame in speaking to a mental health professional. And there's also no shame in getting a diagnosis. Like when I, right. You know, this is also more neurodivergent stuff, but around ADHD or OCD for me, I was like, dang, now I know how my brain is working. Now I know what's going on and I'm empowered with, that's really good information. I don't want to be in the dark about it and I don't have any shame about it. So anyways, yes, I just am shouting that to everyone and I hope to share that message more. And I'm very glad that you said that too.
It definitely, that's what holistic means. Holistic means using different modalities in combination to just maximize the end result, you know? And so I know people who profit from, oh, just do yoga, but you can literally do yoga and talk to a therapist, talk to a psychiatrist, get medical mm-hmm. attention for something, and you're just going to really maximize your results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I am so grateful that you came on and were willing to chat with me today. We dived into lots of different amazing topics. Yeah. Any other kind of last closing tidbit thing that's on your mind at the moment?
I think that people just need to be very mindful about like social media. It's really cool. I actually really enjoy it. I've connected with so many people from around the world and, you know, it's a really awesome tool. The internet's awesome too, but also understand that there's like, it's addictive and there's people who, you know, are benefiting from kind of spreading bad information and sensationalized. Likes does not mean credibility. The amount of followers doesn't mean credibility. And, you know, be wary of the person who's saying that they can just change all these aspects of your life when ultimately, you know, even from ancient times, it's always taking a tribe, a village to really, yeah. you know, help people. So be wary of the person who's saying that they're going to change all these things in your life when ultimately it takes a lot more than that. But I just wish everyone the best in their healing journey and, you know, be open to new things, but also know that there are people who are trained in special ways to help and to not lose sight of that as well.
Mm-hmm. So good. And where can people find you on the interwebs, on the internet?
Yeah, so my Instagram is Dr. Thomas Oden. My website is odenpsychiatry.com. Those are probably the main ways to find me at this point. And, you know, taking new patients, you know, you're working with somebody who just is going to know what's they can handle, know when you need to see someone else, but open to hearing different types of conversations. I'm licensed in Louisiana, Georgia, New Hampshire, Wisconsin. And I post on Instagram a lot, just like little tidbits of just cool information. I like the memes like everybody else. Sometimes it's like lighthearted, sometimes it's a little bit more serious. But yeah, that's how you can find me.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. I'm looking forward to more conversations maybe here or on the Instagram. And thanks again. I hope you have a really good night.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for being here and listening. Again, you can find Dr. Oden on Instagram at dr.thomasoden. And you can check out his website, which is odenpsychiatry.com. That's www.odenpsychiatry.com. Thanks and see you next time.